Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world-building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall, and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's episode, we will be discussing funerals and funerary rites. How do you bring out your dead?
Ooh, God, that's a good reference there. That was a good, good intro.
I'm great, man.
I'm proud that's of awesome. You. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, bro.
We get into this podcast now. Anyway, so funeral rites... They're normal. Like, they're a part of our everyday
they're
lives.
They're normal.
I
know, it's just such a weird way of phrasing.
This isn't sources of magic.
They are commonplace.
They are commonplace in Earth. On Earth.
Every society and every culture throughout history has had some form of funeral rites. How do you treat the dead body when you are preparing to transition that person from life into death, wherever death may be, however you might define it?
Exactly.
They are often also very indicative and reflect either the religion of the age or how people feel about death. Is death something sacred? Is it something profane? Is it something to be feared or something to be celebrated? Are you passing yourself off into the care of an afterlife? Is that afterlife someplace to be feared or someplace to feel neutral about or someplace to be happy about or expected? How do you feel about the person? How do you feel about the permanency of death? Is it something that will be coming around? Can you talk to the dead? These are all questions that are sort of answered in that people have tried to answer different ways throughout history.
Yeah. You've got, you know, some of the classics from our real world.
The classics,
you know.
The oldies. Viking funeral, rocking with the oldies.
Viking funeral is, you know, and it's used oftentimes in fantasy.
It is.
You know, but,
didn't they do a Viking funeral for Boromir in...
They did.
Yeah.
I believe it was... Or maybe
they just pushed him... Oh, no, they pushed him over a waterfall.
That's what they did. They pushed him over the falls.
Yeah.
They did not burn him. You know, you've got the coins for the boatman on the eyes
in ancient Greek.
And I think that's one of the coolest, like, it's chef's kiss.
But see, that's what I mean when I say that simple ritual tells you a huge amount about that culture's beliefs about the afterlife, because it is immediately, this person is dead. When we cremate them, they will be going someplace else. There is a boatman waiting for them. They need to pay the boatman to take them to the afterlife. There is a huge amount communicated with just putting two pieces of silver over someone's eyes.
And it speaks to a practical nature of death, to just say, this is a reality you have to deal with. And just, here's your bus fare.
Yeah.
Be sure to take that with you.
Yeah.
So when you, and not be afraid, just, here's what you do next.
Yeah.
Versus the way that we often treat it in the modern West, is there's a lot of fear. It's such a solemn affair. We grieve. We struggle with how to handle death in our society. And our funerals kind of reflect that.
Are the spiraling costs of our healthcare system is all due to the fact that we do not know how to accept death. We are not okay with it. It's why Atul Gawande's book, Being Mortal, is so important. It is a distinct reminder of our own mortality. We have not, as a society, accepted death, and we are trying to still fight it and cure it.
Yeah. All right. Let's not reflect too much on our mortality and more talk about the funeral rites.
Fucking Targaryens getting burned by their own dragons.
That's pretty dope. That's a sick fantasy version. I think it's super common in sci-fi that you're just blasted through an airlock into space.
Yeah.
And you just...
Spock at the end of Wrath of Khan after he died. Spoiler alert.
What?
Yeah, I know. Big deal.
Oh, no.
Spoiler alert. Leonard Nimoy is also dead.
Did he? Oh, yeah, he did die, didn't he?
He died a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. A cool dude.
I also love the Silent Sisters that embalm the Targaryen kings in... Game of Thrones. We saw them in House of the Dragon when they were helping to care for whichever the son who's an asshole. Aemon's brother. So after the Silent Sisters take care of him, and they also handle a lot of the embalming of dead bodies, and I just like that they're walking around with their mouths covered. I thought the vibes of that were great.
I mean, embalming, mummification, the Egyptians had
the mummy.
But also just mummies and mummification of ancient Greece is very ancient Egypt. You said Greece before. Ancient Egypt had cool funeral rites. You know, burials at sea are kind of cool as funeral rites, and those are done in the modern era, like the U.S. Navy does them.
Oh, absolutely. Fun fact, there is a fantastic documentary on Netflix about the hunt for Osama bin Laden.
We got him.
Wrong guy. We hadn't had him at that point. In the documentary, I think they're interviewing John Brennan, and he says, you know, we had the body on the aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean, and the decision was made to give him full Muslim burial rights and then bury him at sea explicitly so that his burial site would not become a shrine to other martyrs.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's again, smart. Huge amount communicated about death there.
Yeah. And I think respect of an enemy combatant's funeral rites is yep. a really common thing throughout history.
I think very important one.
At some point in Troy, they have a really great scene when...
Oh, yeah. When Priam goes to see Achilles after he's killed Hector and paraded his dead body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that. That is one. But just after every day of fighting, then they just send people out to just collect the dead of the day. The regular rank and file of their army, not Hector, because that's a whole different, because that's a personal vendetta that Achilles is having. But for just the everyday people to say, come collect your dead and give them the funeral rites mm-hmm. that they're entitled to, because we do not also want to cross death ourselves. And we don't want to be denied our own funeral rites in the end. So yeah. I don't know. But I think we should probably get into our menus.
But this
here.
Is fun. I like talking about death, Kyle.
I know you do, but I also...
The sweet embrace of oblivion is coming for us all.
And why don't you give me the description of your menu item? Is it the sweet embrace of oblivion?
Is coming for us all? Okay. No. Sunrise, sunset.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I know. Poetic. Sing-songy. Yeah. What have you got?
The most on-brand idea that I've ever had for this podcast.
Oh, shit.
But you're going to go first.
Is this...
Nope. We'll get to mine.
You get assassinated.
That's it. That's end of idea. Yeah. All right, you go first.
By a political faction in a bus terminal.
What?
You love transportation hubs.
Oh, okay. But bus terminal was a really specific transportation hub. Anyway.
I'm sorry, a train terminal. A train station.
That's more likely.
Yeah, that's more. It
would be an eco-terrorist assassin.
That's right. If you say... If you ask me if I've ever heard of Vivianite, I'm going to destroy this.
Have you heard of a port?
The assumption is that this is for a solar themed or, you know, sun worshiping society, religion, tribe, empire, something. You don't need that to be there, but it helps a little bit.
Okay.
Basically, when the spark of life is associated with the sun. And so people talk about life and death in terms of how many days you've been alive, cycles of the sun around the earth. Everything is very solar focused. That's sort of important here. So a funeral is when someone dies, you know, and their light goes out. The funeral occurs at sunset. And instead of wearing black or white, which are more common in the real world, you know, black, you're signifying mourning, white, you're signifying purity of life or death or something like that. This society will actually wear the colors of a sunset. So everyone shows up in shades of red, orange, pink, yellow, signifying the sunset. And then as the body is entombed in the ground, much as the sun sets over the horizon, the body is entombed in the ground, the people will actually follow the body down into the ground and for a period of mourning, maybe a day, maybe a month, a week, I haven't fully quite decided yet, they will actually live underground in pure, complete darkness for that time, for the period of mourning, to commemorate and be present with the body, the light that has gone out. And then they are informed when the sun is rising and they come up out of the ground again in those same colors, which are obviously the same colors as the sunrise. So they, as their period of mourning, they go in for what they call the long night, mm-hmm. and then they come out of it. And that is the whole funeral process. As you are lowered into the ground, you are accompanied by your family and others who live underground with you as you are ushered into the dark so that you are not going alone. And then they come up out of it after you've passed.
You're not being lowered into a grave. You're being lowered into like a...
It's more like a mausoleum.
Yeah. So there's a structure.
Underneath. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was my main question, was how the hell is this happening?
Sorry. I should have clarified that.
Yeah. So you are entering a underground mausoleum, a crypt, catacombs or whatever. You go down.
Choose your favorite word.
And then
your body is entombed, and at sunset, it is taken down by all of these people in the shades of orange, pink, yellow, red.
But then they get to, like, you know, there are, like, beds or there are benches.
There are facilities down there that they need, but they have to live down there in complete darkness.
Okay.
As they, and I think I'm going to add a note on there now as I'm talking it out, perform additional rituals meant to usher you into the afterlife. So they say certain prayers, they do certain whatever it is, but it's all done in complete darkness.
I think.
And then it come, and then again, once everything is done, they are informed when the sun is rising. And the last part of the ritual is them returning back to the sun and back coming up out of the ground.
I think it's a fantastic idea. I like it if, I like the mystery that you don't actually know what happens down there. They're like the audience
doesn't know.
You just know, oh, that person just came back from, you know, this funeral. He's been living underground for, you know, a week or whatever the period of time it is. And it's just simple as that. And it's evocative and begs questions as to what you doing underground for that long.
Yeah.
What do you do down there?
Yeah.
And the assumption would be that there'd be mourning or whatever, but then because the rituals, you know, could be fun to create additional rituals, but I think as just
I love coming up with rituals.
I know you do.
It's so much fun.
But I think as a ritual in and of itself is complete. And I don't think,
complete.
And I don't think you need additional rituals. I think they almost diminish the importance of the big one, because then it's just go be with this person, mourn them underground.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back.
And it could be something you could discover, the audience could discover later. It's something just as simple as, oh, we are just saying prayers.
We're just, and maybe it's just up to the individual group. One family makes it religious and they pray a lot. One family just tells funny stories about the person. One family sits in solemn silence.
Yeah.
One family just eats and they just kind of like, they just sit there and pretend like everything's normal. They make meals. They just kind of have a pretty relaxed time and they reflect and, you know, it is what it is, and leave it to the individual family to mourn in the way that's appropriate for them. I don't know.
I love that.
However you want to do it.
But I think that's it. It's.
I have an alt.
I reject your alt.
Cool. A completely separate idea, because I think this is fantastic. But so when you first started describing it with the clothing they're wearing.
Yeah.
At this point, I think it's just a grave. And I didn't realize when we had the mausoleum.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
When it was just a grave, I was thinking about, okay, you're there at sunset. You're all wearing these clothes signifying sunset. And you're burying them as it's becoming dark. And you wait until it's becoming dark. And then I was thinking, well, then they remove their clothes and stand there naked and put their clothes into the grave to be buried with them. And then they, in the vulnerability of their grief, are now vulnerable and in the nude and have to like walk back together to go home, and then they dress in the morning in their sunrise and they walk out for the day in their sunrise and they spend the whole day in that sunrise attire and then go back and put it back on the grave and leave those the following night.
I love that too.
Yeah.
I think that's also beautiful and gets at very much
the same
vibe that I was going for.
Yeah. It's just an alt.
It's just,
It's a straight up alt.
And that is a great example of saying, hey, maybe that's something, maybe, ooh, same world, different socioeconomic status. If you do not have the money, if your family does not have the wealth or the status to afford a family catacomb, then maybe that is what you do.
Family catacombs versus a public catacomb.
My original idea was public catacombs.
That's what I thought you were doing.
That was my original idea. I'm now trying to blend ours together. And
second alt. Now we have private catacombs and public graves, and you do both of them. But I think it could also work that, say, there is a public catacomb, but if it's crowded, then it goes to the richer family who's able to, like, they bribe or whatever.
True.
And either you have to wait to bury your dead, and it could be a couple weeks, or you go do it in a grave somewhere. And it's just kind of first bidder, because there is just the one. No one else wants to build a catacomb. It's just, will you pay to rent it for the period? Or maybe multiple people can use it at the same time. Maybe that's a story. You have multiple families down in this catacomb, grieving different dead, and they're sharing the space.
Oh, that's a macabre meet cute.
I don't think it's a meet cute. I think it's more of like a, it's a solemn story about how different people process grief.
I agree. I think also there would be someone who would try.
There'd absolutely be a meet cute. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, come on.
They like accidentally run into each other while they're carrying the dead body. I dropped my dead body.
We've all seen Death at a Funeral. If you haven't seen Death at a Funeral, you really should. It's so good.
Yeah, okay. I
believe. This is not me recommending the terrible movie. You can tell when I actually am recommending something.
Yeah, also it's just famously a classic movie.
So. Yeah, James Marsden, so funny. He's so good.
Underrated, that guy.
Yeah.
He gets enough work, but
he does.
He's still underrated. All right.
Look, a lot of funeral, I wanted to build something that would feel as human as putting coins for the boatman, right? You know, it is.
Yeah. It does feel human like that. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's great.
Thanks, man.
Move on to my idea.
Yeah. Hit me.
On brand.
Most on brand idea. I swear to God, if you ask me about Vivian Knight, I'm going to flip this table over.
I'm not going to ask you about Vivian Knight. Don't worry. But.
Which, for the record, is a dope funeral, right?
You have decided to derail this with your Vivian.
Completely. Shocked that I had an idea and suddenly decided to follow it as if I was out of control of my own brain?
Yeah. The House of Nyx is a whole thing that we've done several times in this show that has a lot about funeral rites.
Yeah.
And mostly the denial of other people's funeral rites.
Uh-huh.
But this is, it's in a similar vein, but we're using our other favorite idea. The Burned.
Yeah.
Circa 2 years ago in a very different version of this podcast. But The Burned were a monastic order that lived in a volcano that was, and the magma of that volcano was basically a fallen star god.
They believed it was.
But I think we made it that way. I don't know.
We did in one episode.
Yeah,
I think it was an alt to it originally.
Well, at least believe that it's a fallen god. But, and you know, they're a monastic order who have all lost their pinkies and, you know, replaced it with lava. It's a whole thing.
They made lava whips out of it. It's pretty great.
It's pretty great. But anyway, but it is, you know, a revered space. Hmm. And I was thinking about the idea of, I think in a similar vein to yours, a funeral rite where people all go to one spot to bury their dead.
Yep.
Every single dead body has to be transported to this volcano and put in the lava. They are all cremated by volcano, by the burned. That's like, you know, there's a passageway up the volcano.
It's a pilgrimage.
There's a pilgrimage. There's a passage.
I love that.
Up the side of the volcano that is marked and that is for mourners. And anybody can use it at any point. You can have a traffic jam of people trying to go in there, but that is the way you go in. There's a separate path into the volcano for other business.
Yeah.
But for like the chamber that is, you know, dedicated to funeral rites, you go in there and then, you know, you can put down your dead, and there are monks here who are prepared to provide funeral rites and to speak and to do whatever you need to do. And you just kind of walk in. It's 24/7. It's always available to people. And then you make the pilgrimage back. And people will, you know, I'd say the nearby village has lodging, and it has built a bit of an industry around servicing people who are coming here to mourn. And it takes
sure.
That is a very sacred privilege that they know that their role is to help people who are mourning and to provide entertainment and distraction and
spiritual support
or whatever. And, you know, that's kind of it.
I've got alts / notes, not necessarily alts, but more just deepening.
Yeah,
one, I think, and obviously I love the city. I actually had an idea similarly where it actually led to me Googling, does lava glow in the dark? Because
does it?
It does. Well, if it's hot enough.
Famously, we made a bunch of lamps that do it.
Yeah. So that took me a second to process. That was very funny.
Thank you.
Got there eventually. Because I was thinking of for the burned, the burial happening in a cavern underground, but that was lit only by the lava.
Oh.
And so I thought that was kind of cool. I haven't fleshed it out beyond that, but you can see how that then led to the sunrise sunset idea.
Yeah.
But I also love the scene in Lord of the Rings when the ring finally falls into the lava in Mount Doom and it sits there for a minute before it collapses.
Yeah.
The families and the loved ones all get together and build an altar, almost like, you know, I'm thinking similar to the, I forget what they're called in Spanish, the altars that people build for Dia de los Muertos when they, it's all about what did this person like and love.
And you just put little trinkets and
trinkets
whatnot.
And memories of them or pictures of them. And then as it goes into the volcano and into the lava, you all stand there and watch it sit and and then it finally dissolves and you stay there until the body is completely dissolved into the lava and then you're all free to go.
What if instead of, and this is super nitpicky, doesn't really matter, but you know, that you don't build the raft, the burned have they have stone raft thingy tablets that, that can,
you just decorate it
and then because they reuse them because these, like, there's a stone that can survive this lava, so then you go in there and you place your things on there, and then because it also releases the burden of people who can't build it or don't want to build it or whatever, and especially if you don't have means, and if you're just hoisting him on a, like, you know, the dead person on it over your shoulder, or you rented a cart or whatever. So
You could do that, but and I think even now building that into the pilgrimage, that would be great if whatever you want to put on the altar, you bring with you on the pilgrimage.
Yes, exactly. So that is a big part of the pilgrimage, is also, you know, maybe collecting things along the way and reflecting, and, you know, depending on where you came from. If you came a really long way, you may stop various places to grab items that were important to this person, you know, over the course of their lives, or small little memories that, you know, or you don't bring much and you just use the time to reflect. It's up to you. The pilgrimage can be used however you want.
But I love the pilgrimage to the volcano.
Yeah.
And I think that's
I specifically wanted to be that this was a culture where everybody's buried at the same spot.
I love
and
that.
And that isn't convenient.
Yeah.
Necessarily. Unlike, you know, House of Nyx is very much everyone's buried in the same spot for a very specific reason, which is
the mausoleum comes to you.
Yeah. The grave robbers come to you.
Yeah, right.
But
in Soviet Russia.
Russia better you? Nope.
Yeah. Yep. Grave digs you.
Something like that.
I'll play with it.
Anyway. Yeah.
I love that.
The pilgrimage. I don't know that there's more on that.
Very cinematic. Very cinematic.
I think I often look for cinematic ideas.
Yeah.
It feels like a cinematic idea. I like the visual of it. I like the visual of the burn just showing out of the visual volcano.
Mm-hmm.
That imagery of the ring of Gollum, same thing, when they fall in the volcano. I think that imagery is impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And not just because Lord of the Rings has been watched so many times by both of us, but because I think that is like the juxtaposition of somebody being put into a substance that will unmake you. No problem.
It also evokes ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Yeah.
And we go back to what we come from, to what we were originally made from.
And I think to your point about what does it say about a society and its relationship to death. And this one, it says, you know, death is, you know, like there's a completeness to this. It is there is no trace of your body remaining. You are gone. There is no ashes.
You are back to the earth.
Yeah, there is no ashes of these bodies. They are gone. They're just fully gone.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have is the memories of the person, because you're also probably burning these physical, you know.
Not reliquaries, but.
I mean, relics, physical.
Items.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're burying their belongings and their possessions that would otherwise serve as potential reminders of that person. So there's a finality to death in this world that I think would normalize it.
Sure.
And to add this communal element, you stay at this village nearby, you are surrounded by people who are going through the same exact process. There is when you go to a funeral in our world, it's all about you and your family. And then you often forget that there might be somebody having a funeral in the room next door.
Mm.
Same exact like feelings that they're experiencing is what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a disconnect. There is no community in that necessarily, because you're not usually going to interact. But what if you were interacting, and would there be comfort in that? Would this entire society be able to be more intertwined and have a better community because they go through these experiences together? I don't know. Maybe it's a closer knit society.
Depends on the society.
I want to believe that this would be a society that has a community feeling that is far stronger because they treat these things as a bit of a communal grief.
I agree. So I would love for that to be the case.
It's up to us. I mean, it's up to anybody.
Correct.
So anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
What would you like on your tombstone, Kyle?
I don't want to think
about
it.
What do you want on your altar?
I don't want to think about it right now. There's too much existential dread in this world.
Fair enough.
Don't bring it into this podcast. All right.
If someone doesn't put like a bottle of Diet Coke or Coke Zero on mine, I'm gonna not feel seen or understood.
What if we just pour out a Coke Zero on your grave?
No, the point is that I'm talking about on my altar that's going into the lava.
Ah, okay, got it. Yeah, but that'd be a waste of a good Diet Coke or a good Coke Zero. Do you want us to?
You're gonna deprive me of my last.
You're already dead.
You don't know that.
I mean, if you were putting you in a volcano, you're definitely gonna die. All right, so then, let's move on to some frozen lasagna. Secondary idea. Go for it. You have 1 minute.
Oh, you're covered in birdseed and eaten by pigeons.
You're really on a bird thing, aren't you?
I've now accepted that. I've now taken it on as a challenge to myself for every topic to do everything I can to relate it to pigeons and or bird's nest.
Okay. We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah. When have you never known me not to commit to a bit well past the point of comedic return?
I guess you never have. I don't know.
No, I've never, ever.
Nope.
Ever done that.
Okay. Moving on to mine.
Kyle died a little bit inside on that one.
No, I'm okay. All right. So mine is that when you die, you are put into your front yard to naturally decompose. And they will only move your body and deal with your house when you've fully decomposed.
Cool. Oh, fun alt to that is you could actually be turned into a scarecrow.
I mean, you definitely scare away a lot of shit.
Yep.
It would smell pretty bad.
Yep.
And people just get nose blind and just deal with it. Yep. And it makes everybody aware of someone's death by announcing it loudly through smell.
Sure.
So, all right, let's move on to what's stuck. What's stuck for you, Ethan?
I really like my idea.
I really like your idea too.
I really like, I'm going to be honest. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Not trying to toot my own horn here, but I think it feels human and also distinctly fantastical. I love the pilgrimage and I love that the volcano of everyone getting buried at the same place.
Yeah.
I think those are both really fun.
I think both our ideas are similar in
they're both
essence.
They both have the same color palette too.
Yeah. I think there's a
reds and oranges and yellows.
There is a fundamental similarity between them, like in spirit. And I think I like both of them in rather equal measure.
Yeah.
And we didn't get into like a ton of alts. Like, I mean, we got into a couple of them, but like they don't, you know, I think it's all in all, I really like them. I love the visual of people walking down into the crypt. Or into the catacombs. I think that I really like out of yours is just the visual of it. I think it's
sun setting and the,
it is super cinematic. And it's that like you walk in and they shut the doors behind them that moment. And then like, you know, camera shifts to inside and you see how people now process. I think that's
it's pitch black down there.
Is it pitch black down there?
You're doing the whole thing in complete darkness.
That's
part of it.
That was missed, but
got it. But that's part of it is you're doing the whole thing down there in complete darkness.
I don't like that. Someone else is going to die, but we'll find out.
Sacred spaces, man.
I like that. And then I like the village of mine a lot. I like having the village nearby and I like what would happen in that village. I think the story of a village like that is a compelling space for a story. Like you could easily set a story in that village. You could set a story
as
a bottle episode in the crypt where you have the meat cute. So I think I like both ideas.
Well, it's good. Think about the economic boon that Saudi Arabia sees during the Hajj when people go to Mecca.
We've talked about the Hajj many times here and about how fascinating it is.
Saudi Arabia has to think of the logistics of that. It is fascinating. I took a whole course in college where we actually went into the cemetery next to our campus and learned about all of the iconography of gravestones and different burial rites and practices of different times and eras. And it was fascinating. But we also spent a lot of time learning about the economics and the business of death.
Yeah.
And it is complicated and very, very predatory and deeply problematic.
Yes, it is. Such as everything.
Very uplifting note.
I mean, this is not a particularly uplifting episode. So why don't we end on an uplifting note? That's downlifting.
Downlifting? Down pushing.
Down. Down pushing doesn't...
That's what stuck for us.
Down pushing.
Down pushing.
Let us know what stuck for you.
Email's in the show notes.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.